Hello and welcome. This is Connie Reagan Green with another call in the podcast series for online marketing tips. So I promise some great information today, and hopefully I will not disappoint. So today is June 12th, 2014, and it was really 8 years ago this week that I resigned from teaching. So I had already been online about 6-7 months and was starting to make a teeny tiny bit of money, but that's when I had decided I was going to resign from teaching, and I did so in June of 2006. So that was 8 years ago, and things really shifted for me. Things changed because all of a sudden, I really didn't have a plan B, because simultaneously I gave up my real estate clients. So I went from working 6 or 7 days a week, every week. So I worked somewhere 60, 70 hours a week, every week, and having a paycheck every 4 weeks, so 13 times a year, I received a paycheck from the school district, and I also earned money from real estate, and that was sometimes excellent and sometimes was next to nothing, depending on the market and depending upon what I was doing. But when I actually resigned from teaching, so I knew in June that I would not be starting the new school year July 1st. I was at a year-round school at the time. And I started turning over my – I started with my very best real estate clients. I turned them over to people – I made introductions, and I turned them over to people who already had been doing real estate full-time, all the time that I was doing it part-time. And I knew it was a good fit for the people that I matched up, and that there wouldn't be much chance I would get those clients back. And by, for sure, by August, I didn't have any real estate clients left. They all had been turned over, and very little money was owed me. It was paid, and I didn't receive any more. So I do believe in burning your boats, jumping. I used to say I would tell people not to do it. I would say, you know, you really want to think and get things set up, but I haven't said that for a couple of years now. I really believe that making that decision to go full-time online will make a huge shift internally for you, mind shift, heart shift, everything that needs to shift, and things will fall into place, and you'll wonder, after a while, you'll wonder how you ever did anything while you were still working full-time. So that's what I believe. All right, so if you're on the live call, then you can see the teleseminar page and take a look, because we're going to talk a little bit about the 10K laser coaching that I do. And actually, my current person, Adrienne Dupree, is on the line, and we have just rebranded her, which is very, very exciting. Her site is still at theonlinenewbie.com, but pretty soon it's going to be with her full branding of leaving the corporate world behind, and that's the title of her book, if you look her up on Amazon. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and we have it at a wonderful special right now for lifetime access. It's only $77 instead of $97. And if you just go to 10klasercoaching.com, put in the code 10ksuccess, all one word, and that will give you the discount. Now, why do we do this? Why have I worked with not one, not two, but three people in the 10K Laser Coaching Program, and why is it so important? The number one thing that you can do as a newer online entrepreneur, I don't know where you are, if you're brand new or if you've been dabbling for a few years and still aren't making a full-time income, but the number one thing you can do is to find a mentor or a coach, somebody that will work with you fairly closely so that you can build your business more quickly than you would on your own. The difficulty with this is that it's very expensive. I used to have a monthly program. I had over 200 people in that program. I don't do it anymore. Very few people do. And even if you're in someone's monthly program, we really can't give you the personal attention, not very much. I work with a small group of people. I still, at this point, work with up to 20 people. Starting at the first of the year, 2015, I'm only going to work with up to 12 people. And that's the case also. Many people don't even take students at all, but I love working with people. I love seeing their success, being a part of the puzzle that they are figuring out and putting together. And so I like to work with people. That is very, very expensive. Doing the 10K laser coaching allows you to be a fly on the wall. And I have a wonderful question from Kit. Kit says, I have your 10K laser program and started out with your welcome webinar with Adrian, took some notes, and listed a couple of things to do this week. It was very helpful to see what you were doing and to hear the suggestions you made. I've learned these last few weeks to not have all my eggs in one basket. So we talk about multiple streams of income. That's what Kit's referring to as far as selling platforms. So my question is how to best use your 10K program and strategically implement the ideas without getting overwhelmed. Also, where is the best place to start with the course? So excellent question, Kit. I love how you worded it, and it will allow me to really explain what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how you can best benefit from it. So, like I said, I worked with Helen Reptopoulos, I worked with Jeff Hoff, and now I've been working with Adrian Dupree for about a year and a half so far. And we're going to do this into spring of 2015 for sure. We've committed to that. So I would say, don't go back and listen to what I did with Helen. Don't go back and listen to what I did with Jeff. Initially, go back to the very first one, like you said you did, Kit, that I did with Adrian, and space them out. Every 1 to 2 weeks, listen to another one. Because we do a call every month. And if you do it every 1 to 2 weeks, then you'll always have something to listen to when the new ones come out. And the idea is that when I started with Adrienne, she really, I don't believe she was making any money at all. If she was, it was a teeny tiny amount. And she didn't have very many things in place. She was in a very expensive program that really didn't give any personal guidance. And so when I started working with her, she saw that things really had to be set up very differently. And so if you listen to those calls from the very beginning, from when she had nobody on her list, from when she didn't have any of her own products, from when she was just starting to do affiliate marketing but wasn't having much success with it, then you'll be able to follow along and implement and build your business in a similar way. So that is my recommendation for how to get started with that. All right, let me go back over here. All right, Carol says, I find it hard to put myself out there for all to see and hear. I think some things are personal, and I agree 100%. So I think what you're talking about is social media, where it looks like we're sharing everything. So if you look at my Facebook page for today, my last post was this morning before I left the house. And it says, am I the only one who serves brunch to my little furry friends? And I have a picture of three of my dogs. And I say, today we had, I mean they had, okay, we all had cheese, yogurt, and carrots. And do I have some comments? I do. Good. I've got several comments and very, very interesting comments, you know, people saying it. Also, I have 20 people have liked my post. So in the picture, that's a picture of my dog's play area, and it shows a couple of their beds and their toys. But I'm not showing the whole house. I'm not giving detailed information about that. I don't even give the names of the dogs. In my family, we agreed when I first came online that we would never share pictures of family members, even adults, without permission. And so far, my family's never given permission. I've only asked them a couple of times, and I saw that they still aren't interested in that. So they are not famous on Facebook. Very seldom do I mention their names, whether they are children or adults. And I'm the only one that's out there for everybody to see. People know many things about my life, but really not my personal life, because I agree with you, Carol, some things are personal. So I think that's the position you have to take. Everything that you do, whether it's in an email or on a call like this, this is my open call that I do that gets turned into a podcast over on iTunes, or on social media, anything you do, you have to say, would I be okay with that information posted on a billboard outside of town? And if the answer is no, then you don't share that with anybody in your business. So that's how I feel. So let's read the rest of what Carol says. She says, taking the know, like, and trust factor into consideration, how do you tell strangers about you as a person? Well, so I share my previous experience, like I just did, about being a teacher. So I'm happy to share that I was a classroom teacher for 20 years in the Los Angeles Unified School District. I went to a technology symposium the other day where I ran into a woman. I said, gee, I said, you look familiar. And then I saw her name tag, and her name was familiar. And she said the same thing about me. And because for 8 years I haven't been teaching, I've been living in Santa Clarita and now in Santa Barbara part-time, then, you know, we tried to figure out, was it one of the charities? What could it have been? And finally we figured out. She used to be a substitute teacher at the school where I was teaching at, and so I would see her maybe once a week or once every other week when she was subbing. She never subbed for me. I wasn't absent very often while I was teaching, but she would be at the school subbing for someone, and that's where I knew her from. So I'm always, you know, happy to share information on my teaching and also in real estate, that I worked as a real estate broker. I still have a broker's license, still have a teaching credential, and also I was a residential appraiser until about 5-6 years ago. I finally let the license lapse. I decided not to keep up with that. I keep the broker's license so I can have my medical insurance through them. So I share information about myself, and I will talk about things from time to time related to real estate or related to teaching. So I'm sharing about my personal life. And also, it's important that people don't think that I fell out of the sky and started doing an online business, because that's not the case with any of us. We were somewhere doing something before we ever had a presence online. So that's how I share information. Now, I share a whole lot about the charities and different organizations that I'm a part of. And that also lets people know who I am, what I believe in, what my mission is, what I stand for. I believe that everybody should have their own business to one degree or another. Even if they're under 18, even if they have a full-time job or career that they absolutely love, I believe they should have something that brings in money. So that's my belief system. So this is how I tell strangers about me as a person. That's how you've worded it, and that's how I'm answering it. And Carol says, I understand you want potential clients to relate to you and to purchase from you, but sharing about my life is hard. I've been following you for years and still have your spring jumpstart class from 2007. All right. You didn't tell about personal things in your life back then. Well, I feel like I always talked about real estate. I always talked about my dogs. I always talked about being a teacher, because those are the things that are just who I am. What made you change and put your personal life out there for all to know? So, Carol, I don't know, because social media really wasn't around in 2007, so perhaps that's part of it, but I have all my emails from back to 2006, emails that I've sent out to people, and I've shared about going to Finland every summer, how I have extended family over there. I've shared all kinds of things since I've been online, so there never was a day where I said, well, today I better start talking about more personal things. I've always shared about Santa Clarita. Oh, and something else interesting is this month, this week actually, makes 8 years since I resigned from teaching. I can remember in June of 2006 thinking it sure would be nice, because it's so hot in Santa Clarita, and I remember thinking it sure would be nice if I could go to Santa Barbara on a regular basis. I was just thinking about this today, and I kept that thought in my mind, how I wanted to be up there on a regular basis. And I would go and spend the day to get out of the heat and just be by the ocean. I started to get to know some people, and it's been about 3 years now that I've been there half time. So your thoughts become things. You know, keep the good ideas in your head. Don't give up on your dreams, because they'll come true. So yes, we do need to share about ourselves and share just as much as is comfortable. So if I start to talk about something that isn't comfortable, I won't keep talking about it. And we all have things in that category. All right, Andrew says, how do you tie yourself down to one subject? Entrepreneurs have hundreds of ideas flying around their brains. What's a good way to decide which one to go with first? Well, do entrepreneurs have hundreds of ideas flying around their brains? I don't think the ones that make money do. I keep my ideas really to ones that I'm going to implement. If it's an idea that someone else would be better implementing it, I'm happy to share that idea, because all of my ideas aren't necessarily ones that I'm going to do. So I've given students and other people I know on the internet ideas for products and courses and live events. One of those comes to mind where I said, yes, you really should be doing this. People would appreciate the location and the timing and everything, and they did it, and it worked out very well. So what I think is, and I don't ever consider it tying myself down, like right now I'm working on a course on really simple list building. That's a course that I'm working on and have been working on for a couple of months because I want to have it presented in a certain way, and I only spend time about once a week on it. I spend about an hour a week right now moving that course forward. So it will be out, but probably not till August. So right now, I don't feel like that I'm tied down to that subject. I'm also working on my 10th book, The Transformational Entrepreneur. So what I think of it more is staying focused on something that I want to do and it will fit in with the way that I do business. So I used to teach a lot more about affiliate marketing. Now my live event that I do twice a year, my weekend marketer event, the next one in October, October 10th through 12th in Las Vegas, will be on affiliate marketing. And there will be a product right then created right there at that event that people will be able to promote and people will be a part of. So now I like to do affiliate marketing in a different way and in a bigger way in person. So, Andrew, I do understand what you're saying, but if you have hundreds of ideas, then perhaps you're not an entrepreneur. Perhaps you're just somebody that's thinking about lots of ideas. So take a look at children, maybe elementary age children, because that's what I have the most experience with teaching. The children that had a million ideas for what they wanted to do at school and they wanted to learn all these things, and they were so excited and they would talk a mile a minute about all the exciting things that were happening at school. Usually those were the C students. Nothing wrong with the C student. They make, you know, good CEOs. So nothing wrong, no judgment here. But the students that did exceedingly well always had a favorite subject and always preferred to do things around that subject or maybe one or two subjects. So I had kids that really liked language arts and social studies, or they really liked math and technology or math and science. And those are the kids that did really well because they were able to focus their brain, bring it down to something that made sense for them. And then you knew later on who would go into maybe the medical field, who would go into teaching or social work. So think of it that way. Also, imagine that you have a job, and you may have a job, I don't know. But if you have a job, they don't care that you've got lots and lots of ideas about a lot of things. They care that you have an idea about how you're going to do the job in the area that you've been hired in. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're cut out to be entrepreneurs. And I used to write about that, the numbers, but it was kind of sad, so I stopped writing about it. You know, truly less than 10% of the population is cut out to be an entrepreneur, because remember, as an entrepreneur, you have to wake up in the morning and make things happen. If you just kind of sit around and send your email and, you know, you have to create a product, if you do that, that's not going to work very well. It really isn't. You have to have ideas for how you are going to do your business and then really get moving with them. All right, excellent questions, many of them thought-provoking. All right, let's talk about product creation. I have all kinds of products on the internet. I don't talk too much about my products, about most of them, and I don't mail for my own products. People don't notice that too much. I only mail for about 5 things that are mine. Everything else I mail for is an affiliate product. The reason is that I'm getting traffic from Google that goes to those products. I could have a product every month if I wanted to. I usually only do 5 or 6 a year instead of 12, but I easily could because I do a lot of things with PLR, private label rights. It's so easy to turn those into products, and if you have a team of people, if you have some virtual assistants, they'll even do it for you, which I love very much. So I've given a link there. It's connieloves.me/showyourcredibility. You can also, and that's one of the products. It's from the coachingstickyglue.com people, Melissa and Nicole, and that is my affiliate link, coachingstickyglue.com. That's how you can get started with them. But know that they have do-it-yourself packages and template packages that really lend themselves to being turned into an information product that you're going to sell on the Internet. And you're allowed to do so because that's why they create PLR. We own the private label rights to it. So take a look at that link or at the coachingstickyglue.com just so you can get started. You'll be into that system and you'll see. And a lot of those topics are wonderful small business topics. I have one on PowerPoint that does better than any of the other ones in the past year. And it was so easy to set it up. I really only spent maybe about 4 hours, I want to say, getting it set up. And then that's a product that will be good for the next couple of years for sure. So this is something that you may want to do as well. All right. Patty's asking me a question it's a popular question to ask successful people, and I don't mind answering it. She said, if I had to start from scratch with no money and no list, what's the first thing you'd do to generate income? Well, it's usually the first thing all of my students do, and that is do service for other people. So what is it that you know how to do? If you've been on the Internet 1 year, you have skills that people around you don't have. There's something you know how to do. It might be related to social media. It might be related to content creation. It might be related to something technical. It's related to something that you've been doing to build your own business. Offer that service to someone else. So the question is, if I have no money and no list, how would I generate income? I would trade my time for dollars, what we do in the working world, by helping people. Now, I did this in the beginning by helping small businesses. And this is still, actually, it's a better way to generate income in the beginning than almost anything else. Because every single thing that you do for your own business, you can do for somebody's small business and charge them. They will pay you by the month to create content, to show them how to set up a list, because they already have a database of customers. So whether it's a dentist or a plumber or a handyman, these are just some of the professions that I've done marketing for, they already had a database of customers that they could reach out to and ask them to join their list. They said, please, we'd like to have you on our email list so we can stay in touch with you. Will you give us your name and email? Will you log, opt in here so that it's permission-based and you can opt out anytime you want to? So that would be what I would do is I would take a look at what skills I have and see who I could do it for. Don't forget about the small businesses. The small businesses in the United States, anyway, really were helped to stay afloat during the recession by people like you and I that helped them on the Internet to really gain the traction they needed. And all the people that said, oh, no, I don't need that service. I have a quarter page ad in the Yellow Pages. Most of those people aren't in business anymore. They had to learn the hard way how important it was to have a presence online. All right, and Patty's saying, that's what I do now. Great. So now once you're doing that, you're doing a service for other people. The next step is to have people help you do it. So you pay people to help you. The step after that is to turn it over to people, and they still give you a percentage of that. And that frees up all of your time. First it frees up some of your time, then it frees up all of your time. And I would say don't take more than 3 to 6 months to do this. But then you can build a business that doesn't require you to be so hands-on. Very, very important that you can do this. All right, Vincent says, what percentage of heart, what percentage of reason do you put in your campaigns? I'm not sure if I understand your question completely, Vincent, because I was saying to do it, to make a shift in your mind and in your heart to having your business being successful. So I'm not sure. Type in a little more detail so I can answer that question more fully. All right. And Thaley is also asking me the question, if you had to do over, what changes would you make in the beginning of your career and why? All right. So what changes would I make? I wouldn't have moved in slow motion. I wouldn't have waited for something to happen on many days. Because at a job, pretty much we're waiting for another department, another person to do something, and then we take more action. But we're in waiting mode a lot. So as a teacher, I knew what to do each day with my students, whether I was teaching kindergarten, elementary, middle school that I did for a couple years, high school that I did for a year and loved very much. Whatever I was doing, I was always waiting then for the administration, the principal and the other administrators, and the department heads in high school and middle school to say, this is going to be our focus for the next semester. This is going to be our focus for the next 30 days. Let's now do this. That was their decision. So I was waiting. Once they told me what the shift was, what the focus was, then that's what I would do. But I wasn't being paid to think creatively about what could be done differently that would work. So when I came online, part of me was still waiting. Like in the real estate industry, you're waiting to see what the client is going to do. Do they want to list their home? Do they want to buy a new home? Do they need an appraisal to do a refinance? Do they need an appraisal for probate? For, you know, there's so many situations. What do they need from me based on what's happening in their life, in their world? And I came online and part of me was waiting to see what happened. And I would get emails from people and I would take courses and I would do a little, but then I was waiting. Well, one day, and it was in the summer of 2006, so 8 years ago, I thought, I can't wait for anybody. It's me. It's my business. I have to make it happen every day. So that's when I thought, I have to have my own product. And it took me another few months, but I had my first product in October of 2006. Made a sale of it on Thanksgiving Day in the U.S., which is the third Thursday, I believe, of November. And I considered that a good omen. I thought that Thanksgiving was a lucky day where I was thankful to have that sale, my $97 product. And I began to take action every day in a different way. So if you ask me what changes I would make, I wouldn't have waited for anybody or anything. I would have kept moving. So if there was information that I needed, I would have done whatever I needed to do from the time I started at 7 or 8 in the morning until whenever I finished, which was back then was maybe 4 in the afternoon, and I would have kept moving until I got what I needed. You know, now I do things so quickly that I don't think about it in the same way. But it's very rare that I'm waiting for someone, and if I wait for someone too long, I don't wait for them any longer. I replace them with someone else who can do the same thing. Because fortunately or unfortunately, all of us can be replaced with someone else. And we can't forget that. All right. Tara has a question. She says this is her thought-provoking question. Of all the accomplishments that you've made as an online marketer these past 7 to 8 years, which one has transformed you at a fundamental level, really caused a shift in your being, mindset, as a woman, a business leader, and a mentor, and as someone who makes a difference in the world? All right, great question. And I read it when I first came on. I looked at the question, so I saw your question, and I thought about it for a few minutes, and I thought, what's really transformed me at a fundamental level, that's your wording that I like, has been when I finally saw the influence and the difference that I could make in other people's lives, people around the world, people mainly in third world countries, because I now have the time and the money to find out who needs what, where. And when I first realized this, and it was different projects that I did with Rotary, because those are all international projects in third world nations, I thought, my first thought was shame on me for spending so many years of my life feeling that it wasn't important to to make lots of money. Because that's how I felt. I thought, no, I have enough. I have everything I need. I don't need more money. I have a house. I have a car. I don't need more money. I have clothes to wear. Shame on me for not realizing that it doesn't matter that I have a house and I have a car and I have clothes and I have medical care when so many people in the world do not and will never have what I have. Even when I was back working and struggling every month and was always just a paycheck away from not having money for my own house payment. And once I realized that I had the power as an entrepreneur to earn an exceptional income and to be able to give away more and more money, that's what transformed me. I thought, it's never going to be about me. It's always going to be about the people who don't have a voice. And for all of us, we can reach out to people somewhere in the world that resonates with you. We all have different backgrounds, different feelings about what groups really matter to us. And those are the people that you reach out and you touch and you help. And a small amount of money goes a long way in those countries, a long way. One example I will give you is from a couple of years ago when I was in Thailand. And it was through the Rotary Club. We went to an orphanage. And there's a fellow, Father Joe Meyer, and there's information about him on the internet far and wide. And he has been 35 years in this orphanage, in this area. It's called the Slaughterhouse District outside of Bangkok in Thailand. And our club was going, and the International Convention was there, 2012, and we were going to donate $1,000. And I raised my hand and I said, it doesn't seem like enough money. Can't we put together more money to present them with when we go? And people in the group said, no, we'll start with $1,000. That's the right thing to do. And when we got there and we gave them the money, and Father Joe and the others, they explained how far $1,000 would go. And I was shocked. I didn't realize the money went so far. We then made a 10-year commitment to continue donating money. But I saw that you don't even need millions of dollars to make a difference in people's lives. So those are my answers. Thanks for asking wonderful, wonderful questions. All right. Any other questions about getting your business started, about why I believe you need the 10K laser coaching program, why we're offering it at the lowest ever, $77, and you will have access as long as you would like. My goal is to keep everything up at least 5 years after we last do calls in 2015. So that gives you lots of time. Plus, things change over time. All right, Andrew is saying yes, he's going to focus. Excellent, excellent. All right, and Joseph is asking about WordPress. Do I still use WordPress? Yes, because it's the easiest platform for all of us to use. It's become the common denominator. So that if I have a web person anywhere in the world working on sites with me, they'll know about WordPress. And you must keep WordPress up to date. You must have those latest versions. I don't do it on the first day. I usually wait 2 to 3 weeks, and then I will update them. Or sometimes they update themselves, depending on how you have it set up. Or if you have a tech person, have them go in once a month and just do an update for you. But that will keep the bad guys from getting into your sites. And it's so much simpler to keep everything on WordPress. That's what I have found. But it's an excellent, excellent way to do the business. All right, let's see if there are any questions that I missed. So, Patty, good. I'm happy to see that you are doing a service business, and I'd like to see you make that switch over to having people helping you and then having people do things completely. That's what I did with my small business marketing. I don't do any marketing on my own at all. The last person I did it for was a dentist, and I only took him on as a client because I was teaching a class on small business marketing at that time, local business marketing. And I said, yes, I'd love to take you on as a client. Number one, if I can share what I'm doing for you with my students. And he said, fine. And number two, if you don't tell anybody else in Santa Clarita, I'm doing it because I don't want to take any more clients. And he agreed to that as well. So he's the last person that I did work for. And the people previous and finally him, I turned them over to people that were students in that course, which worked out nicely for them. I still collect 10%. So it works for everyone. All right, so Vincent says, most marketers go online. Cause Vincent, I asked him to reword his question. Most marketers go online to make money, contrary to storefront owners that can hide behind your products or look like preachers without faith. Okay, so a marketer goes online to make money, but you feel that a storefront owner doesn't? How are they going to pay the rent the following month? The definition, really, of a business is a going concern. That means that every month it's making enough money to pay the expenses, and what's left over will be some profit. So that's how it works, and I see that you're in Canada, but it's no different. It's no different. I was just in Toronto, just speaking there in May. Love Canada. I've been there 3 times now. So, and he says, you mentioned a lot about charities you deal with. It is heartwarming. Yeah, and I think a lot of people are involved with charities. They don't like to talk about it so much. That's a part of my personal life that I've always shared. From day one, I've always talked about Rotary. That was the first group I was involved in. In 2006, I started. And then in 2007, I joined the Elks. The Elks are just in the 50 U.S. states. And from there, I branched out. A group that I do a lot with is called Zonta, Z-O-N-T-A, at zonta.org. It's a women's business group, and our mission is to advance the status of women worldwide. And that's a big one. That's a big one. You know, we're very fortunate to live in North America or Europe or Australia, a developing nation of one or another of those. Because it's not so easy for women in most of the world. So, Vincent, I hope that explains about a business, that it's a going concern and that we must be making money. So I am not a volunteer. I don't volunteer my time in my business. If I'm doing something for my business, I'm earning money. And I try to always make that very, very clear. All right, so again, take a look at the page if you are here live at the AskConnieAnything.com page. That will give you information to give you the discount code for 10K Laser Coaching. Also, I call it monthly information products. If you go to that link or just get started with CoachingStickyGlue.com, you can sign up, and it's less than $20 a month, and the information you receive is information products that are yours. You own them. You have the PLR, the private label rights, to do what I do, turn them into products. And like I said, I receive 12 of those a year, and I turn 5 or 6 of them into products, and it just takes a few hours. And that way, even though you'll do a little of the work, most of that work's already been done for you by people that are very, very smart and talented at what they do. And these will be products that are on general business, and they sell very, very well, because not everybody's interested in online marketing or internet marketing, but lots of people are interested in learning how to get their business going in a bigger way. That's a much bigger audience. So it works extremely well. All right, I'll take one last look and see if there's another question. And it looks like there isn't. So thank you so, so much for being here. Be sure to subscribe to all the calls in the podcast series. And you can visit my site at ConnieReaganGreen.com. Take care, everyone.